Oakland's Radio.
Jana Hogarth is a successful author, and to date, her writing has covered such varied topics as children's stories, how to be a DJ, taking great photographs, and how to have a great sleepover. But when things took a painful and an unexpected turn for the worst, the topic for her current book became her life. And her book is called The Single Mum's Mansion. It is already a bestseller, and Janet is on the phone now to talk about it. Hello, Janet.
Hello.
Thank you for coming on, and thank you for writing such an entertaining book.
Oh, my God. I can't actually believe you're reading it. I'm mortified.
Is that because you think it's not a man's book? Is that what you're saying?
No. Well, it is fairly girly. It's just very sweary.
That's right, yes. And I think we've already got an agreement that you'll not be living the part
phone call. I've put my potty mouth to one side for today.
Oh, thank you very much. Right. Well, could we, for people who don't know, begin with an outline of the story and the things that led up to it?
Okay, well, basically, The Single Mum's Mansion is based loosely on my own experience of living in sort of a single mum's commune about seven years ago. It was when I went through a divorce, and I had another friend who was also having the same experience, and she was left with a very young baby, and her house was being sold, and she had nowhere to go. And I was here in my house with my three kids, who were very little at the time. They were all under seven. And I said to her, well, as a temporary measure, why don't you move in? And so she was just supposed to stay for 3 months, and she ended up staying for just over 2 years, and we had so many adventures. I also, at the same time, met another friend who was actually exactly blow for blow going through the same divorce process as me in the same time frame. And she lived just up the road, and she joined in on, like, day release into the commune. And we all just pitched in together with the kids, and on weekends off, without the kids, we partied hard. So basically, that's it in a nutshell. It's our story from heartbreak to triumph. Really, I suppose.
I think that's exactly the way. You're quite right. I'm reading it. I'm about 50% through, so I haven't got to the triumph bit just yet. but I have to say that, I mean, the story, as you've just articulated, is three people going through various stages of heartbreak, coming together, and being quite explicit in the book about the heartbreak that you went through. So allowing for the balance, because I know you call it faction. Is it half fiction, half faction?
There is a lot of truth there. Obviously, our emotions are real, and the divorces are very real, and some of the events in the book are real. I'm not going to say which is
which. I understand that.
You have to buy the book and read and try and work it out for yourself.
Oh, hold on. Are you saying that if I do work it out, you'll tell me whether I'm right or wrong?
I will, yeah.
Okay.
I will.
It's like a little competition. It just is. Write to Janet, and she'll tell you if you've won.
I don't know what you're going to win, but
a night in the mansion.
Exactly.
But allowing for the balance between fact and fiction, you have really put it out there in graphic detail, the absolutely dreadful time you had over the breakup. Was it an easy decision to write about your painful experience as frankly as you have?
Well, no. It wasn't a difficult decision to actually write the book, to decide to write the book, because I'd come to a point in my career where I didn't feel like I had anywhere else to go. I'd been dropped by my children's book publishers, and I knew that I wanted to carry on writing, but my dream had always been to write an adult fiction book. And when we were in the mansion, as a joke one night when I was drunk, me and Vicky were like, oh, let's do a blog about what it's like living in a single mum mansion. So I did start writing a secret anonymous online blog that I only gave a few people a link to. And I basically poured everything into that. And it was quite defamatory, so I didn't really want anyone else to read it. It was just for us, really. It was just personal.
Are you saying it's not out there now?
No, it isn't. So don't go searching for it. I had to take it down because I was terrified in case anybody did find it.
How long after the breakup did you start writing it?
Oh, no, this was during and while it was happening.
Oh, right,
this
got it.
This was actually blow-by-blow account of life inside the house with all three of us and mm-hmm. all the kids and the divorces and what it really felt like. It was really visceral. And then when I sort of forgot about it and I sort of left it out there, and then when I came up to this, like, career crossroads, my agent just said, he was like, mate, I know what you've got to do. You've got to turn that blog into a book, because he read it. I sent it to him going, what do you think? And he was like, I absolutely love it. And Vicky had been nagging me for years to write our story. So it kind of felt like a natural progression that was my next step, was to write a book about it. So I just took a chance, and my husband just went, I'll support us. So
can I clarify which husband you're talking about
here? The real husband, the second husband.
The current one.
The one that I ended up marrying.
Yes, okay.
He just supported me in my decision, because obviously somebody had to be bringing money in, and I wasn't bringing any money in while I was writing it, because it was an unknown venture. I'd never mm-hmm. written adult fiction before. So it took a year to write.
Was it in any way therapeutic?
Oh, gosh, yes, absolutely. And I had very dark moments when I was writing it. I felt absolutely dreadful sometimes, because it just brought stuff up. And when I gave it to Vicky, she very kindly did a proofread for me of the very, very first version. She was in bits. She just said, I've just been crying all the way through, because it just brought it all back for her as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to ask you, because there are three factional life stories, were they happy for their story to be as explicit as yours?
They were, yes. They were totally fine with it.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, the writing is honest and explicit, and clearly you're spelling that out for us now. Knowing it would be read by your friends and your family and your ex and, in time, your kids and me now, did you find yourself thinking, what will I put in and what will I leave out?
No, I did. So that I just thought, what I'm going to do is not think about the audience, because as a writer, the only way to stay true is to write what you want to read.
Yeah.
So I wrote for myself, really.
Fantastic. You make in the book, you make reference to self-help books like The Journey, the Brandon Bays book, The Journey. And sometimes you refer to the authors as Beardy Weirdies,
yes.
Which makes me smile because I read a lot of these books, therefore I am. But by the way,
are you a Beardy Weirdy? Are you in our club? Brilliant.
I'm a Beardy Weirdy. But in some way, do you see The Single Mum's Mansion as a self-help book for people that have gone through the same thing?
Well, do you know what? No, and yes, I mean, it wasn't meant to be, but I wrote it because when I was going through it myself, I couldn't see anything out there that reflected my life back at me.
Yeah.
So I think there was a Marion Keyes book called Watermelon, and that mm-hmm. was it. Everything else, there just didn't seem to be anything that really reflected how hideous you felt, but then how you could help yourself and get back on top and I suppose come round full circle to feeling okay again. So yeah, it kind of is. I mean, we felt like we were a self-help commune. Honestly, we tried so many things, all sorts of self-help books.
But it sounds like you were each other's self-help book.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah. Really, we were the only ones that knew how this felt, because there wasn't a support group, or there wasn't at the time, I don't know, the internet, like Instagram and all that. It just, I don't know, it's kind of passed us by, I suppose, or maybe it was just starting back then in 2010 and 2011. I know they were around, but I don't think it had such a grip that it does now on everybody. So we were looking to each other for support, mm-hmm. whereas now I think you can go on Instagram and you can follow
a hashtag
or whatever, and you can find things out for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, have you had much feedback from readers yet?
I have actually. I've had some really lovely personal messages from people saying that it has actually helped them, or it's helped them get back into reading. And it always astounds me that anyone ever reads anything I write. So I just think anything's a bonus when people have been so lovely.
Well, I'm a better DJ because of reading How to Be a DJ, Janet.
Obviously. You can mix those house tunes now perfectly, can't you?
You better believe it. Janet, by the way, for listeners, Janet was a DJ for a while, but we'll move on from that. How would you describe the situation that you're in now, emotionally, practically, whatever?
Oh, well, I suppose I've definitely come out the other side. I mean, it has been 7 years since the mansion wound up, mm-hmm. and we've all moved on with our lives. And I would say that now my children are growing up, I feel like I'm having a second stab at a career. And,
wonderful.
I feel like I've only just started, really, and I've got a long way to go. When it's quite exciting, it's quite new, and that's really amazing to have that feeling in my late 40s, because, I don't know, when you're 20, you're thinking, oh, God, I'm going to be burnt out by the time I'm in my late 40s, but actually, I feel like I'm just beginning.
Well, I have to say, you've had wonderful TV and press coverage for this book, and I'm sure there's lots more to come. I want to thank you for coming on to Brooklyn's Radio. I really appreciate it. It feels like we've got a superstar author on the line today. But I've got two more questions. Have you started your next book yet?
I have, yeah.
Is it along the same theme?
I'm writing the sequel.
Now, hold on. The sequel suggests that it's Happy Days Are Here Again.
No, the sequel is what happens to Ali when she leaves the single mum mansion. Amanda's story sort of winds up, and you find out what happens to Amanda at the beginning of The Muse, which is the next book, and then it takes over from Ali, and so her story and her search for love.
And just for people that are listening, Amanda is the name you've given yourself in the book.
Yes.
So it would make a great movie. Who do you want to play you? I mean, Amanda, who do you want to play you in the movie?
Claire Foy.
You've already made that decision?
Yeah.
Have you approached her?
No, I haven't, but she would be perfect.
I suspect she would be. All I'm going to say to our listeners is go out and buy or download the book, The Single Mum's Mansion by Janet Hogarth. It's a story that's equally inspiring, shocking, and hilarious. And thank you, Janet. Enjoy the success that's going for certain to come your way.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I wish you well. Brooklyn's Radio.